And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 649. Continuing our team-by-team previews for the 2024 fantasy baseball season. We're down to five. We head to the NL West to wrap it up this week. And we go to the desert, the National League champion, Arizona Diamondbacks. That's one thing we have not said in a long time, it feels like. And in order to help me break down this team, is a friend of mine, a friend of yours, a friend to everybody. I was actually at the last game of the World Series with this individual. Got to hang out with them. I was actually thinking of a Dan Soder comedy show the other night. We got to go to together and much, much more. But you can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. In this league, fantasy pros, Scott Bogman. How we doing, my friend?
Doing great. And don't think I didn't notice your little dig on the Diamondbacks. You're still a Giants fan. So, you know, we haven't heard NL champs in a long, long time. And we finally did. Congrats, Bogman. At least you were there when your team lost and got retweeted by Carl's Jr. So,
you know. That was amazing. I'm telling you, that silhouette picture of you at Carl's Jr. is glorious.
That's my Alfred glorious. Hitchcock moment, right? Yeah.
So good. So good. Before we get rocking and rolling here, remind everybody where they can find all your work, because you are a busy, busy man.
Yeah, at Bogman Sports for all of it on Twitter. Obviously, In This League with the Welsh is my mainstay. Do some work for football over at Fantasy Pros, and I have my draft, my rankings up in the Draft Wizard. So if you're using the Draft Wizard, I may thumbs up or thumbs down your team at some point. So yeah, just check out everything over there. Of course, the Welsh has got Prospect One over in this league as well. So lots of baseball coming at you.
Awesome. Lots of fun stuff. The guys in this league, of they're amazing. I think everybody knows that. If you listen to my show, it's probably because of them. So go check all that stuff out. I always kick it off with a intro question to the team. This should be easy, I think, for you. What were your overall thoughts on the 2023 season for the Diamondbacks?
Woo, what a roller coaster 2023 was, because we had high highs by starting out hot and being great right until before the All-Star break. And then there was a 6-week span of normal August Diamondbacks where they are miserable and falling out of contention. And then the spring forward into the playoffs, and they took the winning streak in, kept winning, beat the Phillies in 7, swept the Dodgers. No big deal. Yep. Thank you. One of the best moments of my life. And, you know, went to the World Series, and I was really sad. So outstanding overall year. And we now know that the D-backs are in the window. So it's time to go out there and acquire pieces and win. And I think they've been trying to do that. You know, no one can print money like the Dodgers and defer payments and all that nonsense and get Ohtani and Yamamoto. But, you know, they went out and got Eduardo and Eugenio Suarez and re-signed Lourdes. So there was some spending and moving going on for the D-backs this offseason as well.
Yeah, honestly, like a team that just went to the World Series, so obviously a pretty solid team. You basically kept what you needed to keep and you improved in a few spots. Like, you can't be too bummed about it. Like, if you're a Giants fan and you watch every offseason, just not signing anybody.
All right, you got Jung-Hoo Lee, though.
And Jordan Hicks, man. This is going to be a hell of a year. Going to be a hell of a year. If you have 5-inning games, we're in business.
You got Gabe Kapler out of there. That's a big
That's the biggest move of the offseason, honestly. So that's pretty pumped on that regard.
The mad scientist, Bob Melvin, comes in and his mealy mouth answers.
You know about Bob Melvin a bit.
I do. Yes. Yeah, I don't. I mean, he's a better manager probably than Kapler.
Set the bar high, don't you?
He's annoying because that lineup is going to change all the time. That's why they call him the mad scientist. He mixes it up.
Yep, he's like the old guy that thinks he understands the youth movement. That's what's fun about him. So we'll see where this goes with Mr. Melvin this year, but can't be much worse, and can't do a whole lot if they don't sign anybody anyway. So have fun with that. And by the way, the next episode after Bogsman's will be the Giants preview with Justin Mason. So if you guys need therapy, that'll be it between the two of us, and maybe some stiff drinks. Let's talk about the D-backs now and a fun squad. And we'll start with Corbin Carroll, who just took the world by storm. It felt like we all kind of had almost had pretty good expectations, which a matter of in year one, could he live up to those expectations? I'd say so. 25 homers, 54 steals, 288 average. I did an article at Fantasy Pros recapping the first 5 rounds in a 12-teamer, and Corbin Carroll was drafted at ADP 55 last year. So if you took that chance, you won. You won very well on that regards, because right now he's got an ADP of 4 over the last few weeks. What are our thoughts on Carroll entering this season?
I think four is exactly where he belongs. You know, I think if you want to put him three, also okay. Him and Julio are probably interchangeable. I think I want Bobby Witt for the upside at two. But I think three or four is where he belongs, and he is in that top four tier of guys that at the end of the season, you'd be least surprised if one of these four ended up as the number one player.
Yep. 100% agree with you. Do you have any concerns with the shoulder issue? Because the Powers that early had the shoulders still hit well and ran like crazy in the second half, but the power kind of declined. Do you think it's shoulder related or something else?
I think it's just, you know, rookie year. It was a first full season in the bigs. Plus, they went all the way through to the World Series. So I think it's just hitting the rookie wall, a little bit of fatigue. Because there were a couple, you know, in the Philly series, there are a couple where he hit the other way that were just barely, I think it was in the World Series. I think it was game one I was watching, and he hit one the other way that missed being a homer by like a foot and a half outside the pole. And it was the other way. And they're like, this guy is so strong. Look at that. He just flicked the bat out there. And, you know, so I think it was just normal wear and tear. I'm not too worried about the shoulder, even though it has been an issue in the past.
Yeah, last thing I got on Carroll, I was just impressed because, like, I've obviously watched games. We do so much content. You know who Corbin Carroll is and what he can do. But seeing him in person for that World Series, I think he was on base almost every at-bat, it felt like. He was just all over the place. They just couldn't execute. But just, like, he was hitting opposite field singles. He was doing this. Now, it was an impressive skill set for a very
young player. He's just a good ball player, man. Yeah. Just a great overall ball player.
So. Very impressed. Christian Walker, this is the guy I like. ADP of 91 right now. Back-to-back 30 home run seasons, hit 258 last year with 103 RBIs. What are your thoughts on Walker this year? Because it's been a fun discussion point with me and a few others on him.
Yeah, I think Walker is the end of the first base, like that tip of the – that top of the first base, you know, section, whatever you want to call it. I think going down to him, I have him at nine, and I think he is the, like, the last top first baseman that – he's the last acceptable one, in my opinion. After we did, Welsh and I did the thresholds episode where you're looking at what does a typical first baseman get out of the top 15, right? It was like a 270 average, 28 bombs, 97 RBI, 8 swipes. He's like the last guy that covers everything. So I have him at nine among first basemen. I think that's probably about where he belongs, like you said, somewhere just inside that top 100 as well. Never comes off the field. He's a gold glove first baseman. And Bubba, the only good thing to come from the Goldie trade at all, and he wasn't traded. He was just behind Goldie and ended up taking his spot and being good. And now none of the players are left from the Goldie trade. And Goldie won an MVP for the Cardinals. And we spent our money on Madison Bumgarner. At least I'm not bitter about it, so that's good.
You're still paying him, actually. You could have traded, you know, Arenado for a bucket of balls. So it could have been worse, I guess. But I will say, since you have Walker at nine, I'm assuming you still have Goldie over Walker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have Goldie at six. Then I go Bellinger. Actually, I have Walker at eight. I'm sorry. Then I have Costas at nine. Okay. So... yeah,
I like it. I dig. Let's head to Ketel Marte right now. Second base Ketel Marte, ADP of 121, 25 home runs last year. Saw that come back, 94 runs scored at 276. Kind of a renaissance season, it felt like, from Ketel Marte, which we haven't seen in a few years. He also had that playoff hit streak, which was ridiculous. What's your thoughts on Marte now? Because we saw this in 2019. Then it's kind of been like, where'd the power go? 24 is really awesome for Marte if he can pull that off continuously. So where are we at in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, you know where he's going to hit. He's either going to be one against lefties or two against righties. So, you know, he's going to be high in this Diamondbacks lineup. Here's my concern about Marte is that I am now drafting him again, which means he will absolutely get hurt this year, right? So we saw a pretty healthy season last year. From Ketel, 150 games. He was decent the year before at 137, but I was aggravated with that 137 the year before because, yes, he did play most of the games, but good God, like 60 of those games, it was like, well, he's not 100% and he's still playing, so they had to lower them in the order, or you don't want him to run too much, or he's DHing today, or whatever nonsense, right? So literally the only concern with Marte is that he does have a bit of an injury history, but he's coming off a fantastic year. He's going to hit high in the lineup. I have him at 10 among second basemen. I'm a little lower on him overall just because he doesn't steal bases like the guys that I have in front of him. Maybe, you know, Glaber is a guy like that, but the rest of the guys, McLean, Altuve, Simeon, they all steal more bases than Cattell is going to. And the D-backs steal a lot of bases, but, you know, they're not going to ask him to do a lot. He had 8 last season. So, you know, I think he's still a top 10 second baseman, but there are little concerns with him.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I'm so confused by his production. So, like he said, we've seen the ceiling. We've seen it fall. Doesn't run. But when he's on, it's really good. So
to me, it's all about injuries. Everything with him is about being hurt. And, you know, when he's hurt, he just doesn't perform as well.
Yeah, because this team will score, as we saw last year. So I do like that. Let's talk Gabriel Moreno. Got over in the Dalton Varsho deal last year. Hit 284, 7 homers, 6 steals, and 111 games. ADP of 150. He finished the season really strong, especially in the postseason, which got people's attention. So what's your thoughts on Moreno this season? Because some have him really high at catcher, like 6 or 7, I guess. Some have him much lower. There's a lot of wiggle room with Gabby.
Yeah, I've got him at 11. I mean, he has no power right now. That's the issue. He had a little bit of pop during the playoffs. I mean, come on, that one against Lance Lynn. That's awesome. Remember, absolutely, he hit the one that was 2 feet outside of the pole, opposite field, that they called a homer. Fireworks went off. Everybody's going crazy. And then he had to decompress, come back, and then went, he pulled it. The power's in the bat. It just didn't come through this season. And I don't know that holding him at number 3 is 100% going to happen. I think that is where he will start in spring training, but we know Torrey is not afraid to move that lineup around. So if he's hitting like he did at the end of last year and they're keeping him that 3 spot, he's going to be very, very useful. I mean, the old scouting trope is power is the last tool to develop. So maybe it comes along this season. And if he's hitting 3, that's great. But I have him at 11 at catcher. And that is because I don't know if the power is going to come there. And I don't think he's going to stick at 3 for the entire season. I think that's going to be a little bit of a movable spot. So we'll see. But I'm a little lower on him and, you know, probably just being harsh on my own guys. I don't want to seem like a homer to everybody's rankings. You're the catcher, man. You did catchers in the black book. Where do you have Gabby?
I am the catcher, man. Now, let me pull up my, I should have, you know, professional. I had this up already, but it's literally one click away. So I'll get this for you. I know I have like Bo Naylor and Ohapi ahead of him. I love this young group of catchers. I have Gabby 13th, actually.
13. Okay.
Yeah. I like him a lot, but it's 100% the power situation that kind of brings him down. All the guys ahead of him have 15 plus home run power, which I'll take. I can't remember who I had on a couple months ago. They mentioned with Moreno, because I was kind of getting higher on him and thinking about, you know, the postseason. We saw improvements as the season went on that you want to see from a young player. But someone mentioned his profile. I never dug in deep enough to it. He's almost a left center to right center guy, which in Arizona does not play well at all.
He's a doubles guy. Yeah, for sure. He's not really a homer guy, but I mean,
still very good though.
You're not a homer guy until you are. You know what I mean? So
that's why I was trying to be optimistic. This kind of pushed me back a little bit, but yeah, he's so young, and we saw what he could do when he wanted to. So it's like,
but this, like Moreno being between 11 and you saying 6 and, you have him at 13. It just shows how deep catcher 100%. Is. Catcher so deep. Just wait, especially in a one catcher league. Oh, one catcher. Don't take your catcher till like the last 3 catcher, rounds.
Treat like a kicker or a defense. Like it's your last pick. Like, because if you're in a 12th, one catcher, there's literally, let me pull my list. I think I wrote about it in the black book. I would be comfortable in a one catcher league with like, my top 17 probably.
Yeah.
And I live with it and just know you can stream throughout the season and one catch, like, wouldn't worry about it one bit. So it's, I have Gabby 13. Not that I'm out on him, because I think his batting average is really, really strong. And if he clicked into power, he's a huge value, but that's it.
I mean, I have Ohapi at 17. You know what I mean?
I love Ohapi. See, that's where we would fight on that one.
Well, that's okay. I like guys that play. So I think Ohapi is very good. And by the way, my dynasty leagues, I have him in both. So
you're going to be sitting pretty this year.
Right. Well, I mean, as long as he plays and doesn't hang me out to dry like he did last year. So
as of this recording date, healthy.
But yeah, it is February, early February. I mean, like Keibert Ruiz is going to hit 3. I have him higher. Mitch Garver can hit cleanup. You know what I mean? Like there's so many good catchers. Just there's a lot of them. Beat this point to death. Wait on Catcher.
It's okay. Yeah. People come to any show I'm on because they know Catcher's Talk will eventually take over the show. That's just how it works in my world. I get made fun of it, but I love my Catcher's hat. It's a thing I'm starting, like Rich Eisen did with kickers. Hashtag Catchers Matter. Like, it's coming, people. Just get used to it. Enough of that. Let's go to Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who you guys brought back this year. I was pretty pumped on it because on Underdog, I was taking him everywhere as a free agent, hoping he'd come back to Arizona. Last year at 24 home runs, 261 batting average, solid season overall. His ADP is only 230. Like, that seems very affordable for a guy that's going to play a ton, in my opinion. What's your thoughts on Gurriel?
Yeah, Gurriel's an everyday player. And, you know, when I say I worry about someone else bumping up to three, Gurriel hit third for a big chunk of the season last year before they ended up moving him down. He went on a little, you know, he hit a little wall when the whole team did late July, early August, that stretch. And so they dipped him in the lineup and then he started hitting again before the playoffs. And yeah, I mean, he's got good power. He's going to be high in the order, I assume, in this lineup. I think Roster Resource might have him at eight right now. I just don't think that is going to that's going to be the case. I think he's going to hit five or six like he did the year before. I would probably say if Alec is crushing righties like he did in the playoffs, he'll hit five, Alec Thomas. But if not, Gurriel will probably hit five. So him and Suarez will probably battle out for that spot. But yeah, this is a guy that drives in runs, hits for power, doesn't kill your average. He'll be on the back end of some steals as well. I mean, Lourdes does a little bit of everything. So you'd like more steals. Maybe he'll get better at that, being in the same spot. But yeah, he is a very, very good for outfield being as thin as it is, especially at the end. He is surprisingly affordable.
Yep. Big fan of his price tag. So good job on the D-backs bringing him back. I like that move a lot. You mentioned Suarez. Eugenio Suarez got traded to the D-backs early in the offseason. You know, when you have an old veteran like Longoria disappear, why not just replace him with almost his Spider-Man gif? only 22 home runs last year for Suarez after back like multiple 30 home run seasons, similar to 32 average. He's going to ADP of 277 right now. What are your thoughts on Eugenio Suarez?
Yeah, I have him at 22 among third basemen. So I believe that would be Fantasy Pros ECR. I think I'm one below where he is, but this is a dude that they brought in to get the big hit. I mean, you saw it against Texas, right? What were they missing? They're missing just a bat to come in here and hit a, you know, bases clearing double or something like that. And that is what Suarez is coming in here for. In 96 RBI last year, they're going to put him in a good RBI spot at five or six. And that's what you're going to expect from him. Probably a low batting average. Maybe he's a little more pop because we know it's in the bat. But you don't want this guy to bottom out and go to 196 and hit 30 homers and do nothing for you. So there is risk with him, of course, but I like where he's at. And I think he's in a good spot right now. And he's like one of the last acceptable third basemen for me. You know what I mean? Like, you got your third baseman. I don't mean at third. I mean at CI. He's like one of your last acceptable CIs, because after that, I feel like you're either going, you know, you're taking a risk on like Garcia for the stolen base upside, or a young guy like Bush or Colt Keith or something like that. So Suarez is one of those last guys that I actually want on my roster.
Yeah, I'm with you. And in draft and hold formats, I've been using him as my second third baseman. So if my main guy doesn't get there, Suarez's time. So I'm with you. I still think there's a lot there. The power is legit. Well, another hit for average, but you'll take 230 with him. And like you said, if he sits in the, you know, 5-6 hole in that lineup, he'll produce plenty of runs for sure. Now it gets a little murkier on this team, at least more platoony potential situations. Geraldo Perdomo, stud defensive shortstop. That's why he should continue to play. And shockingly, I didn't know until prepping for this show that he's only 24 this year, extremely young, 16 steals in 144 games last year, hit 246. ADP is 434. What are your thoughts on Perdomo?
Yeah, he's a great fielder. Yeah, it's going to be a no from me, dog. Look, I saw him at the All-Star game last year. He was an All-Star. He was great in that first half. He was hitting leadoff. The bat disappeared, you know. And if you look at his Savant page, I mean, he's like the bottom 1% of everything that's important. You know, the bat is just not there. He's still young and developing. There's a chance that it comes back, but there's also Jordan Lawler waiting. If the D-backs don't make a move for an ace-level pitcher by moving Jordan Lawler, then I assume he's going to take that shortstop gig at some point this season, probably early too. And that'll turn Perdomo into a full-time utility guy. He can play second. He can play short. He can play third. You could probably put him in the outfield if you wanted to. He's got a nice arm. Don't know if they've worked on that with him at all this year, but I envision Perdomo becoming a super util guy for the D-backs at some point this season, and Lawler taking that shortstop gig. So I'm just not investing in Perdomo at all, even at that cheap $430 price.
All right, and I agree. Perdomo's good. He's a better real life player, and a team that has postseason aspirations. You're going to see a lot of them when it matters most. So
there a lot is of bunting from Perdomo in the playoffs, and Jason Collette was so mad.
It was so mad a lot on that one. Bunting with Gabby Moreno in the first inning, that was ridiculous as well. But I felt bad for you. I was like, what are we doing? But you mentioned Jordan Lawler, so I'll just kind of segue to him real quick. His ADP is 308. And I think a lot of people have the same expectations you do, that he's going to take that job. Like, I don't think it'll be right out the gate. I think Perdomo gets his chance, kind of like you said, but it's just a matter of time more than anything. So if in a draft and hold format, either the 12-team or the 15-team formats, at 308, are you still interested in Lawler for the long-term season aspect of him? Or are you still kind of like, yeah, I don't know?
No, I want him. I mean, I was – it's getting to the point where he is getting a little more expensive than he should, right? I think 308's probably – like, you know, outside of the top 300, I want him. When he starts creeping in there, you know, I want him less, but I still am willing to reach and take him. I have him right now as, like, I think my 26th shortstop. So, you know, an MI option to start the season for sure, but – like you said, there is no guarantee that he even is on the roster for opening day. So I would assume he's got an invite to spring training. I assume that he's going to, you know, win a bench spot and be in the lineup because he was in the playoffs. I mean, I think he had one at bat in the playoffs, but he was there, you know, so he got to ride the wave there. But yeah, this is the year for him. He's going to come up, and if the D-backs are going to have a Rookie of the Year candidate, it's going to be Lawler.
Yep, that seems to be on par with some other people, and it'll be fun to see him do it because offensively, you had that kind of bat if he produces the way. Like his cup of coffee obviously didn't manifest what people thought it would be, but if he could put it together, that'd be pretty, pretty nice. Jock Jams. Jock Peterson's now in your locker room. I like Jock. I think he's fun. He's got a hell of a bat from the left side of the plate. Don't play some versus lefties very often, so he's probably strictly in a platoon situation. But that's a power bat you guys can use. That's a very utilized situation there. As long as you're obviously not bringing Tommy Pham back now. So Jock Peterson's got an ADP of 435. How does that interest you?
Yeah, I mean, look, Jock is going to be a heavy side platoon guy, right? So, and you look at his StatCast page, everything's still red over there. He cannot play in the field anymore. We know he's old and slow, so you're not going to ask him to steal any bases. Even on this team that steals a lot of bases, he's not going to get a lot of opportunity to play in the field either because, you know, his legs are busted, but the bat's still there. And that's the important thing. I would say probably a 7 or 8 hitter. Maybe if he gets hot for a streak, they stick him at 5 against righties behind Christian Walker, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's some movement that could happen there for Jock up and down the lineup. But, you know, basically this is our replacement for Evan Longoria is, you know, and he's a lefty bat, which is better for this lineup. So a good investment late if you're in, you know, if you're in a league that goes post 400 in your picks, go ahead and snap him up and see what type of playing time he gets and what he looks like early. But he is like one of those guys that if you even invested in him is one of your first drops. As soon as a whiff of less playing time or he starts out bad or whatever it is, dump him because he is easily replaceable.
100%. You talked about late draft picks. Let's talk Alec Thomas. He's not as late as one would think. ADP of 325, but you hinted at him earlier. Like, first off, he's only gonna be 24, another young player here. We saw him really turn it on late, like in the postseason and whatnot. So what are you thinking this year? Is this a guy that could be worth the ADP and is going to run regular playing time, or is there still concerns with Alec Thomas?
I mean, there's no playing time concerns for him because he's a gold glove outfielder. So he at 143 against lefties, I mean, he's going to be hitting nine against lefties. That's what it's going to be. It's, if you want to see some bunts, you're going to see Alec Thomas probably at the bottom of the lineup against lefties bunting. But the defense is why he's going to play every day. He should have won the Gold Glove. They gave it to Brendan Doyle. Brendan Doyle's great, too. Come on. Here you go, Rockies. You exist. You know, yeah, that's kind of how your participation
trophy.
Right. But Alec is amazing out in center. Like you said, he really came on in the playoffs. I mean, that homer against Craig Kimbrell.
It was glorious.
I was going nuts. But yeah, one of my favorite players to watch, too. He's just an all effort guy. So I just expect him to keep getting better and better on both sides. And he's already a gold glove defender. So he's not going to come off the field. So if you're in a deeper league, bat's not great. It's not perfect, but he can steal bases. And on days where he wouldn't be, starting, he's still going to pinch run at some point and then take over late in the outfield. So he's just going to be on the field a ton as long as he's healthy. And there's been no worries about his health so far. I'm knocking on wood right now. So,
well, that's good. You got young Perdomo. You got young Thomas. You got young Carroll. You got Lawler coming up. A couple mm-hmm. veterans to piece it together. So you got that going for you. And we're going to talk about some more here a little later that really can look good for you. Any other of these platoon bats that are worth discussing for fantasy? Or is it kind of a let's head to the mound?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, we're a little early on the Hispanic Titanic, Ivan Melendez, but he's coming. He's going to be in spring training. You'll see some tank homers from him for sure. A lot of pop in that bat.
All right, let's talk pitching now. Let's head to the mound. Let's talk about Cy Youngs. I don't know if you know much about Cy Youngs, but Zach Gallen, everybody. It wasn't just a World Series run for the D-backs. They got more hardware this past year. Well, not this year, past year. Snell got it last year. Gallen was in the running for the Cy Young, I should repeat. He finished third behind Webb or second in front of Webb. I can't remember now. Second. I think Gallen was second. But on the season, Gallen, 210 innings pitched, sub 3.5 ERA, strikeouts were there, and now he has an ADP of 40 when it comes to starting pitchers. So, you know, amazing season, but still didn't get as much love as some other guys did, it feels like. So are we back in on Gallen, or does the workload concern you at all?
No, Gallen's a top 10 starter to me. I mean, I have him at 8. I think his ECR is even higher than that. I think he's 7. He's a 200 inning guy that is going to have 200 strikeouts, hopefully get you 15 wins. You know, he had 17 last season. What's not to like about Gallen? So there's not a lot of downside here. So yeah, Gallen's top 10 pitcher.
Yep, I have him as 8 as well. I love the durability, like innings-wise, the distance he goes in games, which is hard to find these days. Another guy that pitches a ton of innings, people make fun of him a lot, but if you look at his overall track record outside of a 4.44 ERA in 2021, 3 of the last 4 seasons, even though short in 2020, have been pretty damn good. The last two especially, 177 innings last year from Merrill Kelly, 200 the year before, and he's been sub 3.4 ERA in both seasons. But the strikeouts showed up last year, which was a big surprise compared to years past. ADP of 154 for Merrill Kelly. Are we still on this train, or are we just like, it's a little too good to be true right now?
No, I mean, we're still on the train. I have him at 38. So, you know, top 40 pitcher, still a ton of strikeouts. You know, it's not like this was all smoke and mirrors. You can't do smoke and mirrors for an entire season. Yep. So this is a guy that, yes, he is older. You know, he had to go over to Korea for a couple years and get straight over there, come back, get an opportunity for a then bad Diamondbacks team. But he is the only Diamondbacks pitcher to get a dub in the World Series, right? So looked really good doing it, dominated the Phillies a couple times too. So, I mean, Merrill is a good pitcher. So you do worry that he's a little long in the tooth. So not so much that is the skill going to drop off, because I think he's still getting better, even in his mid 30s. It's when is the arm going to go, right? That is your concern for him. So you do have to keep a little bit of an eye on the velocity and make sure he's not Shane Biebering out there and going to, you know, top out at 88 eventually. So that is my only concern about Merrill, is eventual wear and tear. But he also pitched in Korea for a couple of years, so he has fewer innings on his arm than a lot of other guys. So, you know, he could last until he's 40. The drop off is going to come at some point here pretty soon, but still a very good pitcher right now.
Yep, I have zero problems in these drafts taking him as like a fourth or fifth or maybe third if you had to, but it's like a nice like kind of floor player that's got some upside. I'm a boring drafter, so I enjoy guys like Merrill Kelly to get me.
Yeah, by the way, when Bubba says some people make fun of him, he means him. Bubba means himself. He makes fun of Merrill Kelly. Yeah.
And I've rostered him many times because no, I say on this one, usually you are correct.
I love him.
Usually you are correct. No, I have tons of shares and I have shares like yearly and I've been made fun of by other people. Like, oh, he's so boring. I'm like, I love boring.
Who makes fun of Merrill? Give me names. I want receipts.
I'll have to go back and search Twitter. Twitter's good for that. Receipts, folks. Receipts. But yeah, as long as he doesn't turn into Bieber, there's only one Bieber you want to be in. It sure as hell ain't Shane. That's for sure. Your big pitching acquisition this year, E-Rod, Eduardo Rodriguez. I was so jealous when you guys made this move. A, it's because I've always loved E-Rod.
I also called this.
Yes, you did.
I think I told you about this on the way to Soder. Yes. In the car, I was like, that's the affordable guy. He's a lefty to put in the lineup. Like that's, but we were concerned because remember his wife didn't want to live on the West Coast or something weird.
Apparently this isn't West Coast enough. And then more stories came out, like when he vetoed the Dodgers thing, it was more of he didn't want to move the family in season. He's cool with moving them out of season to a location, which makes a little more sense. Regardless, he's going to go to a division out of face the Dodgers a lot, which is really awesome, all things considered. So, you know, E-Rod, I've always been a fan. Whip is usually the issue with him. Wasn't as bad last year, but still not great. But ADP of 190, like I've been getting so many E-Rod shares, it's ridiculous. And it's either going to burn me or make me look great. And most things don't make me look great. So what are your thoughts on E-Rod?
Yeah, look, your concerns are more off the field with him, which makes him dicey and weird because, you know, he just disappeared for part of the season a couple of years ago. He's had some injury stuff. His wife is vetoing trades. Like He's a weird case, and I understand that, but you put him now in more of a pitcher's ballpark with the humidor in Chase, right? You put him behind a good defense and a good lineup, and he's probably going to have a decent amount of wins here. The strikeouts, yeah, I mean, they're not perfect, but I have him still as a top 50 pitcher, being as, you know, going to start probably as the three for the D-backs and draw some worst pitchers as well, at least in the initial run. Everything gets jumbled up eventually. But I like E-Rod. I think this is a good signing. I think it fits. I think the ballpark is nice for him. I think the defense behind him is good. And the chance for wins, as the Diamondbacks are one of the better teams now in the league. I think everything's there adding up for Eduardo as long as he doesn't get hurt or do something weird. Everything's good. So you have to factor that in and maybe lower him a little bit more than you want. But I still have him even factoring all of the weirdness in. I still have him as a top 50 SP.
Yep. I love E-Rod. Now that you mentioned that, I was checking my other pitchers. Let me give you, I have E-Rod at 40. So yeah, I like E-Rod quite a bit. Might move him up.
More than me. I got him at 48.
I have to update my pay. I've updated my bats up to this week. So my pitching comes next. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'm a fan of E-Rod. I honestly thought his price would be higher when the signing happened, but it's kind of in a very affordable world. With E-Rod. Now let's talk about the thing that honestly I'm surprised Brandon Pfaadt has an ADP of 206. I thought the hype train would have been through the roof after the postseason because, you know, no one can say this except like, how cool would it be to be a skilled athlete like this man and be like, yeah, it's with a capital P. Like it's Pfaadt with a capital P. It's fat with a capital P, basically. That's a fat joke for us. But Brandon Pfaadt was great in the second half. ADP seems way too cheap for me. Tell me what I'm missing here. Like, are there still concerns?
No, there's not for me. I guess if there are concerns, it'd probably be just an overall innings limit potentially for him, you know. But I think the reason the hype hasn't caught up with everybody yet is because there was so much hype coming up on Pfaadt, right? Mm-hmm. He starts that first game in Texas, gives up 7, doesn't get an out, and looks terrible. Starts like 2 or 3 more games. Looks god awful. I mean, Welsh was depressed about it. He was team Pfaadt. Everyone's giving him crap because his first run didn't work out. And then this guy's, you know, smoking the Phillies in the NLCS and, you know, has everyone in the world talking about, you know, how he releases his pitches and everything. And Strom moved him on the mound, which was the only real big difference they had for him. And it made all the difference in the world. So a lot of this is between the ears for the young guys, and he figured it out. So now he's got confidence going into this season. So I'm with you. He's in my top 200 for sure. I know he's still going, as you said, as a post 200 guy on NFBC. Not in my draft, partner. I'll be taking him around 180. So,
yeah, and you mentioned the innings concerns. Like, weirdly enough, I'm not there because he had 156 innings between the minors and the bigs. That's not including the postseason. Like, I'm like, if he can give me 170 next year, I'm
in. Five starts in the postseason, dude.
Yeah, so he probably went closer to 170, 175 when all things are said and done last year. So I'm pumped on what could be coming from him. I know I'm not alone because you put this Gallen, Kelly, Erod, Fott combination together, that's a pretty darn good starting four. Like, where we were at last year on the show, Bogman, let's just be real. Like, things are looking a lot better in Arizona these days. But we still got a fifth starter. And right now it's Ryan Nelson. It could be a lot of other pieces. What are you kind of like? What are there any other starters worth rostering on the D-backs? Or is it more just stick with the top four, maybe play some streaming games later on?
Yeah, I think I honestly think that spot will be Tommy Henry coming out of spring training, you know, if he's healthy enough and all that stuff. So if he looks good. But yeah, that spot is up for grabs because Ryan Nelson didn't end the season with it. Frias will have a shot. Bryce Jarvis, Slade Ciccone, Blake Walston, you know, there will be guys fighting for that spot. And look, if it turns into a black hole of change and change and change and change, you're going to see some bullpen days for the D-backs, and also you'll see them acquire a starter. There will be some, you know, the A's have got starters, you know what I mean, that they'll sell for a song. So they'll go out and get someone, especially if there's an injury or something. So yeah, Ryan Nelson is in contention for that spot. I would say maybe he's even the front runner for it, but also, he lost it last year, so don't be surprised if he loses it again.
So you mentioned Tommy Henry. I'm just going to ask because I was looking over the ADP. Like the last 15 drafts on DCs right now. Tommy Henry hasn't even been drafted. So is this a guy that we maybe should have more on our radar than is on our radar? Or is it more just kind of a completely speculative, who knows what we're going to get situation?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't that great last year either, yeah. Right? So I understand not really wanting to invest, but, you know, you're getting to round 40 over there. You know what I mean? You can take worse players than Tommy Henry. ERA wasn't great. It was over 4. His Sierra was even worse at 5.29, but he got banged up, and who knows when that was, right? How long was he pitching hurt? All that stuff. So he had a couple good starts. I think he's better than he's being given credit for, but there's also the potential for him to stay in AAA the entire season. So he's not a high investment at all.
All right, let's head to the bullpen here. Mid-season acquisition, Paul Sewald was pretty darn outstanding for the Diamondbacks, all things considered. Didn't end on the highest of notes, and maybe more people remember that than what really took place. But I'm just, as an innocent outsider, just watching, I thought he was a major impact on getting to where you guys got to. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. I don't care. His ADP 79 right now. Is this the guy you're looking to go back to this year?
Yeah, he definitely was. I'll say that I'm probably just never going to like the Diamondbacks bullpen, right? It's probably just too ingrained in me to hate it. I mean, Byung-Young Kim going all the way back. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Matt Manti, Jose Valverde blowing saves. You know, like I have all these horrific memories of these closers. So what I don't like about Sewald, and you're right, Sewald was great down the stretch for the D-backs. Now, he started with a blown save, ended with ended on a disaster to Marcus Semien, right? Yep. And then Corey Seager. But, you know, he's going to be the guy. They traded too much for him not to be the guy. I don't really like his attitude about his pitches, though. He's like, well, you either see what I have or you don't. So I'm going to throw it over the middle of the plate and you're either going to hit it or not. That's kind of his, you know, his attitude about it, and which is fine. But I mean, Marcus Semien saw it and he crushed it. You know, Corey Seager saw it and he crushed it. So he's a little cavalier. He's not very, you know, really a tactician. I think he said that he's learned to do that because when he tries to be perfect, he misses. And, you know, that's where you get walks and all that stuff. So you'd rather make him hit it. I get it. But I mean, I can tell you in my DCs and everything I'm drafting that's beyond 30 rounds, I'm taking Kevin Ginkle.
That's what I was going to ask you. You got Ginkle and you got Castro. Both had good work last year, let's put it that way.
Castro's miserable. He should not be on the team. Kevin Ginkle is the guy. Should something happen with Seawald, an injury, or just, you know, he loses it. You know how closers are. They're wishy-washy. Ginkle is the man in waiting. He could be a closer for a lot of teams right now. So, and that was, he was miserable in 22. So to see him take such a big improvement in 23 and really be a big core piece, they needed an out. You bring in Ginkle and he got it, you know? So, fireman last year, setup guy this year, potential closer in the future as well. So Ginkle is my guy in waiting for sure.
Well, I love that. And those draft and hold formats we're talking about, those are key pieces as your late round draft picks go on. And when you're looking at Ginkle right now, we're talking about a guy with an ADP of 454. That's a very good late round spec option. All right, let's talk prospects here. We already mentioned Jordan Lawler and kind of the expectations there. We mentioned last year, you guys got, you know, Jones's kid. You guys got a pretty darn loaded team, but they're all kind of young, and how far away is the question. Who could we be keeping an eye on that might have an impact this year, either on the mound or hitting when it comes to prospects?
Yeah, I think mainly it's just Jordan Lawler is the big guy, because the rest of the guys, like Drew Jones, is more than a year away, it seems like. So is Tommy Troy, who they just drafted. Ivan Melendez maybe has a chance to come up this year. Been playing some third in the minors for the D-backs, big first baseman from Texas. No big deal. Big power hitter from Texas for the Diamondbacks. He got a invitation to spring training, but in terms of fantasy, nobody else. No one right now. I think they're more likely to be pieces in a deal to get someone that is fantasy relevant than be fantasy relevant the rest of the D-backs, minor league system here. So I think Melendez is away, maybe. Lawler is the guy, not much else.
All right, so question for you then. You mentioned pretty early in the show that maybe Jordan Lawler is a part of a trade for some starting pitching. You mentioned more potential trading for starting pitching. I know you think about a lot of these things, so I'll ask you, is there a starting pitcher that you kind of thought maybe they should go trade for?
I thought it was Corbin Burns, man. obviously.
Well, for what the return was, you probably could still have Lawler on your team.
My God. Yeah, exactly. Give him Vukovich and a bucket of baseballs, yeah, and they'll be okay. Wild. Yeah, I mean, he's a rental, right? But you're in the window. The Dodgers are making so many moves. Yeah. I just don't – if the Diamondbacks start the year hot, I don't see how they sit on their hands and don't make a move. Whether it's moving Lawler or not, I don't know. It might be too important at that point to get rid of him for pitching. And right now, they have four starters. They don't really need pitching. But if somebody gets hurt, there's not a lot of depth there. You know what I mean? So I just think if you're a contender, that's what you do. You trade your prospects for starters to, you know, get you there and move you through the playoffs, and or you call up someone like Fott to help you get there last season. So, you know, I think the trade for a starter is tangible, but it may be someone gets hurt in the field, and then you have to go make a move. So I think making a move now would be a little premature. So I think if there is a move made, it'll be in season. So I think what you see on this roster right now is what you're going to get going in. Outside of maybe a couple bullpen pieces being moved. There's trade Dominic Fletcher to the White Sox for a bullpen piece the other day. So, you know, little moves like that. I don't think anything impactful before the season starts. I think what you see is what you're going to get going in.
And Fletcher wasn't bad, but you guys didn't need him. So that's the difference in that one. Yep. So it's a good way to improve the team. Final question I have for you, which I ask everybody to end the show. What are your expectations this year? You just went to the World Series, for crying out loud. Like, there's only one place to go from there, but are we realistic? So what are your expectations this year?
World Series champs. That's if you
the team's built for it, if they got there last year.
Like, if you aren't expecting that, what are you expecting? And last year, when they beat the Dodgers in the playoffs, I saw so many people in the Diamondback subreddit and message boards and blah, 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 all the crazy places I look. Saying everything else is gravy. It's not. you know, we were there, we had a chance, and now we got to beat all 30 again to get there, which is super frustrating. But that is the goal. When you're in the window, when you're a smaller market team, which is kind of crazy because Phoenix is market 7 in the country, you know, it's a small market compared to LA, Chicago, New York, Dallas, you know, all those other big markets. You know, you have to win in your window, and they're in it. So, you know, contend for the division. I don't expect them to win the division because the Dodgers are stacked, right? If they do, they do. That'd be amazing, and I hope it happens. I don't expect it. But all you know now,
get to the dance.
You don't have to do that. You don't have to win the division to get into the playoffs and win because they just did it. So that shouldn't be the thing. It's just get in the playoffs any way you can and then go after the World Series. That's what it is. Hopefully I'm back in Phoenix in October again, watching more World Series games.
Well, that'd make me happy. So that'd be good. Because, you know, besides getting to see you that time of year, it means like if the Giants, you know, poop the bed, which probably they will, I will always root for any team to beat the Dodgers. And the most likely scenario in our division is you guys. Yeah. The Padres aren't bad, but they seem to find the banana peel every time. So can't wait to record with Sammy Reed on that one.
That's what's in.
Yes, that is what's in. But on that note, why don't you remind everybody where they can find you and what you got going on?
Thank you. And thank you for having me again, Bubba. Good to finally do a podcast with you again. It feels like it's been way, way too long.
Too long.
We'll have to get into something more regular here pretty soon. But yeah, at Bogman Sports on the Twitter for me, InThisLeague.com for my Patreon with the Welsh. We got all of our baseball ranks up there. Welsh has his prospect rankings up there as well. You can get all those lists for our Fiverr. So go check that out. And then Fantasy Pros for my football work and a little bit of baseball work over there as well. But everything is at Bogman Sports on Twitter. You can find it all there.
Yeah, make sure you check out the Boggs because he's a great dude, smart as heck, and he didn't even mention his college football stuff. Like, he's he knows a little bit of everything, and he's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan as well. So keep that in mind for anybody that, you know, they just got a new offensive coordinator. Heard he's elite at utilizing the top-end running backs.
He's so, better as an OC than a head coach. So let's hope that happens.
Had to we'll poke see. The bear at the end.
Yep.
That'll do it, folks. As always, Bogman, thanks for joining me. This was Benched with Bubba, episode 649, your 2024 Arizona Diamondbacks team preview. Catch you all next time.
See ya.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.